So for the past year, the entire conversation around AI has basically just been completely dominated by these flashy, jaw-dropping research
Oh,
prototypes.
absolutely. Everyone has been mesmerized by the demos, right?
Right, mesmerized by what these models can theoretically do, I mean, in a tightly controlled, highly sanitized lab environment.
Which is very different from the real world.
Exactly. But we are hitting a massive inflection point right now. I think the honeymoon phase is officially over. We're moving past all the hype and slamming face first into the gritty, unglamorous, and, well, absolutely necessary reality of making autonomous AI actually work in production.
Yeah, without breaking your legacy systems or violating compliance or, quietly bankrupting your company in the background.
Yes, the quiet bankruptcy, which is a real thing. Welcome to OpenClaw Daily by Tom Frazier. In today's daily briefing, we are diving deep into a crucial cluster of new OpenClaw updates, focusing on agent releases, executive explainability, cost exposure, and their newly refreshed governance watchlist.
It's a packed update for sure.
It really is. We are unpacking what launched, why it matters, and what to watch next. So if you are a builder, an operator, or sitting in the C-suite, your immediate mission this week is going to be translating these very technical capabilities into actual operational guardrails.
Setting the stage here, I think what really stands out about this particular update package is the distinct lack of revolutionary pie-in-the-sky promises.
Yeah, it's very grounded.
Extremely grounded. This release is incredibly pragmatic, it's incremental, and it centers on one core objective, which is bringing autonomous agents safely out of the research lab and into the real world.
Which is what everyone actually needs right now.
Right. It focuses entirely on giving leadership actual visibility into what these agents are doing autonomously, while handing engineering teams the tightened policy controls they need to reduce downstream risks.
So to really understand how these updates impact your bottom line, we kind of have to start by looking at the engine driving this whole shift, which is the agents themselves.
The agents are the core of all this.
Agent capabilities are the absolute headline item today. OpenClaw just rolled out a whole suite of production-focused features designed specifically to improve orchestration, telemetry, and lifecycle management.
And I mean, those terms often get thrown around as standard engineering jargon, but let's break down the tangible benefits for your development teams.
Yeah, what does that actually mean for the people building this stuff?
Practically speaking, you are getting richer runtime logs and highly detailed per-agent health metrics. On top of that, OpenClaw has introduced a standardized interface for composability.
Composability, meaning things fit together easier.
Exactly. It means there is now a uniform plug-and-play way to snap modular skills, like reading a PDF or querying a SQL database directly into your agents without writing custom glue code for every single integration.
That's a massive time saver. But crucially, they are also emphasizing safer default behaviors right out of the box. We're talking about throttle outbound actions, safely sandbox connectors to your external systems, and much easier rollback capabilities if an agent just goes completely off the rails.
Which they will at some point.
Right. Imagine you've had this lightning-fast, futuristic concept car. For months, it's only been allowed on a private PEV testing facility with professional drivers.
The lab environment.
Exactly. What OpenClaw is doing with these updates is finally outfitting that concept car with seatbelts, side mirrors, and a functional dashboard. So you can actually take it out and drive it on public highways without causing a massive pileup.
That analogy hits the mark perfectly. Previously, the engineering friction required to bring an agent pilot out of the lab and into a controlled production environment was just monumental.
Because they had to build all the seatbelts themselves.
Exactly. Engineering teams had to build all of those bespoke seatbelts and mirrors completely from scratch. By standardizing this infrastructure, OpenClaw drastically reduces that overhead.
So product teams can iterate faster.
Much faster. They can iterate on agent-led features like assisted workflows, automated document triage, or, complex multi-step orchestration across your back-end systems.
But, and this is a big but, this reduction in friction comes with a major caveat for you and your teams.
Yeah, it demands an entirely new category of integration work.
Right. It sounds like this actually creates more immediate work for infrastructure teams before it actually saves them time.
The initial lift is significant for sure. Let's look at CI/CD pipelines, the automated assembly lines your engineers use to test and ship code into production.
Okay, yeah.
Those pipelines now have to be updated to accommodate agent-specific tests. Your deployment policies have to physically codify what a safe rollout looks like for a system that can take autonomous actions.
That's a huge shift from traditional software.
It is. And your site reliability engineers, the SREs, who act as the emergency room doctors for your servers, they have a massive task ahead. They need to completely retune their alerting systems to make sense of these new non-deterministic telemetry signals.
Okay, let's pause there for a second. Non-deterministic telemetry. For a business leader listening right now, how is that fundamentally different from the standard software error logs their IT team already looks at every day?
Well, a traditional software system is deterministic. If you click a button, it runs a specific script.
It does exactly what you told it to do.
Exactly. If it fails, the log says, error 404, database not found at this IP address. It is a linear, predictable failure. Autonomous agents operate differently.
Because they make decisions.
Right. They are non-deterministic, meaning they make dynamic choices based on the prompt and the context. So an agent failing doesn't always look like a traditional software crash.
It's not a blue screen of death.
No. The log might show the agent deciding to summarize a completely irrelevant document because it hallucinated a connection. Or it might show the agent getting stuck in a loop, repeatedly asking a database the same slightly modified question.
Wow. Okay, so SREs have to learn how to monitor for bad reasoning, not just broken code. That distinction changes everything about how we monitor system health. And that introduces a concept that I know is keeping executives awake at night, the blast radius.
The blast radius is the big one. The speed up in deployment is fantastic for productivity, right? Autonomous agents that can act across multiple enterprise systems will fundamentally improve your throughput and eliminate tedious routine work.
Yeah, but...
By their very nature, autonomous agents concentrate and amplify the blast radius.
Let me put it this way. If a traditional application has a bug, it might fail to load a web page for a few users. The damage is contained.
It's annoying, but it's contained.
Right. But if an autonomous agent has a bug, or even just a single misconfigured connector to your CRM, it might confidently and automatically delete 1,000 customer records across 3 different platforms.
Before any human even realizes what is happening.
Exactly. An unguarded permission now has outsized automated consequences. The risk scales linearly with the autonomy you hand to the system.
And that massive blast radius creates an immediate political and operational problem.
Oh, absolutely. When a single misconfigured connector wipes out 1,000 records, your C-suite, your legal department, and your compliance teams are going to bang on the table demanding to know exactly why the agent made that specific decision.
They want answers.
And OpenClaw is addressing this head-on with a new set of executive-facing explainability capabilities.
This addition is really going to change boardroom dynamics. The platform can now produce condensed, human-readable explanations of agent decisions and actions, specifically tailored for non-technical leadership.
So no more staring at lines of code.
No, we are looking at auto-generated executive summaries that explain the underlying logic of why an agent took a given high-impact action written in plain English.
And it goes a step further than just a text summary. They are including concise excerpts from the model cards.
Which is a great feature.
Yeah, for anyone unfamiliar, a model card is basically a nutritional label for an AI model. It highlights its provenance, its training data, and its general confidence levels.
And these executive outputs pair those model cards with fully traceable audit chains. A compliance officer can see exactly which specific skills the agent used and what precise data sources it pulled from to make its decision.
But here's the catch. They are intentionally abstracting the mechanics. They are hiding the low-level model logics, the raw mathematical probabilities that actually drive the AI, and filtering out the deep technical traces.
They're just preserving a clean, causal narrative.
Okay, let's unpack this, because here is where it gets really interesting and... I have to push back on this approach.
Oh, let's hear it.
If we are deliberately abstracting away all those messy, probabilistic, technical details just to give the C-suite a clean, highly readable summary, aren't we risking giving executives a massive false sense of security?
I see where you're going with this.
It's like looking at the beautifully rendered visual layout of a web page and thinking you understand the complex, potentially flawed JavaScript running under the hood. An executive is going to read a beautifully formatted bullet point explaining an AI decision, and they are going to interpret it as a hard deterministic fact.
When in reality, it's just the model's highest probability guess.
Exactly.
That pushback gets to the absolute most material risk of this entire feature release. Trading fidelity for digestibility always masks the underlying uncertainty.
It hides the math.
Yes. When you abstract the math away, you might be inadvertently hiding surrogate heuristics that the model relied on. Misinterpretation is the severe danger here.
It's a huge danger.
An explanation that reads as a confident, deterministic narrative might be masking highly probabilistic outputs, or worse, systemic biases in the training data.
It feels like translating a very nuanced poem into a completely different language. You get the general gist of the story, but you lose all the critical nuance. And sometimes that lost nuance is where the actual risk lives.
Definitely. For compliance and trust building at the highest levels, this feature is a meaningful, necessary advance. Legal and risk stakeholders absolutely need structured, readable explanations to support regulatory sign-offs without needing a PhD in machine learning.
They need to understand what's happening.
Right. But product owners and compliance teams must pair these executive reports with permanent access to the raw, granular artifacts.
So use the sanitized summary for the Tuesday morning slide deck, but lock the raw mathematical data in the vault for when things inevitably go wrong and the auditors show up.
Exactly. Organizations have to cultivate a culture that views these executive explanations as just one input among many, not as an infallible, undeniable truth. The summary is the starting point of an audit, never the conclusion.
That is a crucial warning for anyone building out their reporting dashboards this month. So leadership now has a digestible narrative of what the agents are doing.
Right.
But as these agents autonomously invoke skills, trigger external plugins, and ping third-party APIs all day and all night, someone has to be watching the meter run.
Cost exposure. It has been a massive, unaddressed blind spot for early adopters.
Massive.
The third major update directly targets this vulnerability. OpenClaw has introduced highly granular spend visibility alongside predictive alerts.
I love the predictive part.
It's essential. Teams now have dashboards that break down cloud and API costs, not just at the macro level, but specifically by agent, by individual feature, and even by specific external connector.
This directly solves one of the biggest, most visceral pain points in cloud architecture right now, the end of the month heart attack.
Oh, we've all been there.
That moment when you open the cloud bill and realize a single autonomous agent got confused, stuck in a reasoning loop, and called a highly expensive external API 50,000 times over a holiday weekend.
It's a nightmare scenario.
Because every time an agent uses an API, it's essentially crossing a digital toll booth. Mm. If it crosses that toll booth 50,000 times because of a hallucination, you're paying that toll every single time.
Exactly. So to prevent those catastrophic bills, OpenClaw is now providing real-time consumption signals and anomaly detection tuned specifically for unexpected cost spikes.
Which is amazing.
Furthermore, teams can establish hard or soft budget caps per project, or even down to specific agent groups, automatically pausing the agent if it hits a predetermined spend limit.
What stands out here to me is the inclusion of automated recommendations for optimization. The system actively monitors the agent's behavior and suggests cost-saving measures.
Yes, the proactive suggestions.
For instance, it might notice an agent is performing a high-volume, low-risk task, like, I don't know, sorting internal emails, and suggests routing that specific task to a lower-cost model variant. Or it might flag that an agent is making a ton of expensive individual external API calls and suggest batching them together.
This level of operational visibility forces a highly complex, often uncomfortable conversation between finance and engineering.
It's always uncomfortable when finance and engineering get in a room.
Always. But the immediate benefit is transparency. You finally have the raw data to implement accurate chargeback models across different departments, and you can make quick, informed decisions about when to throttle an expensive, resource-heavy behavior.
But implementing those automated recommendations is never a simple flick of a switch. There is a steep trade-off between cost and performance.
A massive trade-off. Engineering is now constantly weighing user experience, latency, and accuracy against raw financial cost.
Like the batching example.
Exactly. Take that batching recommendation you just mentioned. Batching API calls means the agent waits to collect, say, 20 user requests before crossing that digital toll booth all at once to save money.
But while the agent is waiting to collect those requests, the first user in line is sitting there staring at a loading spinner.
Exactly. You save money by batching, but you actively degrade the user experience by introducing latency.
It's a tough call.
And similarly, if you swap to a cheaper, smaller model for a specific routing task to cut costs, the agent's accuracy and reasoning capabilities might drop noticeably.
So engineering and product leadership have to get into a room with finance and define exactly what the acceptable cost-to-performance thresholds are for every single feature. How much latency are we willing to tolerate to save $10,000 a month?
Without tight alignment across those departments and without embedding this cost monitoring directly into your continuous delivery processes, organizations risk two equally destructive outcomes.
Which are?
You either face completely unexpected budget overruns that wipe out project funding, or you suffer from knee-jerk, panicked feature cuts where finance pulls the plug on a critical capability just to stop the bleeding.
Which completely ruins your customer experience in the process.
Absolutely.
Balancing that scale between cost, latency, and accuracy is a brutal tightrope walk. Doing it without a safety net is organizational malpractice. Which brings us to how you actually enforce these rules.
At the governance side of things. Right. We have the technical guardrails for the agents, we have the sanitized summaries for the executives, and we have the budget caps for finance. How do you tie all of these disparate pieces into a repeatable, enforceable risk management process?
That is where the updated governance watch list serves as a roadmap. OpenClaw is actively signaling to the market what the risk management priorities should be over the coming quarters.
They've laid it all out.
They have.
Yeah.
They have highlighted four specific priority areas that security and compliance teams need to be focusing on immediately. First is data lineage and retention policies.
Okay.
This specifically applies to tracking what proprietary data is used for agent training and, critically, what sensitive information is allowed to be kept in the agent's context window.
Okay, let's define that context window really quickly for anyone listening.
Sure.
The context window is essentially the agent's short-term working memory for a specific session or task. Mm. If a user uploads a highly confidential legal contract into that chat session, that contract sits in the context window.
The governance question is, how long does that data live there? And does the agent inadvertently retain that memory when talking to a different user later?
Exactly, which is a huge security risk. The second area on the watch list tackles permission scoping. This operates on the principle of least privilege.
Meaning?
It means severely limiting what those external connectors and downstream systems are actually allowed to execute. You must give the agent the absolute minimum system access required to complete its specific job and nothing more.
Don't give it the keys to the entire kingdom.
Never give it the keys to the kingdom. The third priority area is establishing clear, unbypassable human-in-the-loop escalation points. Before an agent executes any high-impact action, like executing a financial trade or modifying a master database, it must pause and route a request to a human for authorization.
A physical human has to click yes.
Yes. And the fourth area focuses on the continuous auditability of the models themselves, mandating rigorous tracking of every single model update, version change, and policy modification.
What makes this watch list actionable, to me anyway, is that it isn't just about building bureaucratic walls or, you know, writing lengthy policy documents that just collect digital dust in a shared drive.
Oh, absolutely not.
They are emphasizing active observability. For example, using these new tools, you can now set up an automated policy enforcement rule that physically prevents an agent from sending PII, personally identifiable information, like social security numbers, to an unapproved external endpoint.
It hard stops it.
Yeah. If the agent hallucinates and tries to email a customer list to an outside vendor, the system physically blocks the action mid-flight.
And tying this governance piece directly back to the cost exposure discussion we just had, your policies must be designed and coded in a way that they can be actively measured and enforced against actual billing and usage signals.
It's all connected.
Completely connected. The governance work outlined here is entirely about process engineering. It requires establishing clear escalation paths, creating repeatable review checklists for new agents, and building automated controls that map directly to your organization's financial and regulatory realities.
So what does this massive data dump mean for you listening right now? Your job this week is to translate these technical updates into reality. Let's synthesize this into a concrete action plan.
Okay, if you are deciding what to prioritize next, we can distill this into a four-step operational playbook.
Hit me with step one.
Step one, you need to pilot this new agent telemetry immediately, but isolate it in a low-risk, non-production environment first.
Keep it in the sandbox.
Yes. You want your SREs to validate your alerting mechanisms, test the new rollback mechanics, and verify the accuracy of the cost signals long before these agents ever touch mission-critical customer data.
Makes sense. Step two.
Step two. Absolutely adopt the executive explainability outputs as a formal part of your stakeholder updates. It will save your engineers hours of manually translating technical behavior to business leaders.
But with a caveat.
With a huge caveat. However, you must securely lock down the raw technical traces and model logits for your deep audits.
Yeah, do not let your data retention policies automatically purge that raw probabilistic data just because you have a nice, clean text summary. You will need it.
You absolutely will need it. Step 3, integrate these new cost dashboards directly into your monthly or even weekly finance reviews. Define your automated budget guardrails and hard caps today, especially for internal agents that are still in the early experiment stage and prone to reasoning loops.
Get out ahead of the billing shock.
Exactly. And step 4, operationalize that governance watch list. Actually, codify your connector permissions into code. Define exactly what technical threshold triggers a human-in-the-loop escalation. And this is critical run tabletop exercises to see how these new controls behave when things inevitably fail under load.
That tabletop exercise is such a vital recommendation. You have to break the system on purpose in a controlled environment before it breaks on its own in the wild.
Because it will break on its own.
Oh, it will. Mm-hmm. As you are running this playbook, there are a few key metrics you need to be watching like a hawk over the next month. Your agent error and automated recovery rates, your time to detect and time to mitigate anomalous actions, and of course, your month-over-month cost variance.
Very important metrics.
We will be tracking global adoption patterns and edge case failures over the next several weeks to share more of these operational playbooks with you. But the ultimate wild cards in all of this remain the looming regulatory developments around AI explainability and global data protection. Any new laws passed this year are going to instantly shift these governance priorities.
And that regulatory wildcard actually leads to a final lingering thought that I think every leader needs to seriously ponder as they begin implementing these updates.
Oh, this is good. Go ahead.
We discussed the inherent danger of misinterpretation when using those clean executive summaries, right? Consider this scenario. If you are intentionally training your C-suite and your legal teams to rely solely on highly sanitized, digested, perfectly readable summaries of agent behavior, what happens on the day a regulatory body or an opposing legal counsel subpoenas your raw probabilistic data.
The actual math behind the decision.
Yes. What happens when those executives are sitting under oath in a deposition and they realize for the very first time that the clean, confident narrative they enthusiastically signed off on doesn't quite match the messy, unpredictable, heavily biased mathematical reality of the raw traces?
Wow. That is a terrifying and deeply necessary question to ask yourself as you build these systems. And I think that's a perfect place to leave it for today. That is all the time we have for this deep dive into the latest updates.
That'd be a great discussion.
It really has. Thank you for joining us for OpenClaw Daily by Tom Frazier. Stay curious, stay pragmatic, and we will see you back here tomorrow for your next daily briefing.